Rutherford Issues. We're everywhere you need to be. The Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back in as we continue with the Rutherford Issues program today. It's time to talk a bit about the upcoming Murfreesboro Walk to Cure Diabetes, but also find out what is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. So here to answer some of those questions, Jesse Clark, who is with the Middle Tennessee chapter of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and also Tommy Santel, who is the chair of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Advisory Council here in Murfreesboro. First, Tommy, I want to talk with you, and I know you said that Jesse has all the brains, and you know I'm sure that a nice young man like you would say something like that when a young lady's in the house, but that's fine. But how did you get involved? And we were talking with Jesse off the air about how this is fairly new here in Middle Tennessee in terms of what this Middle Tennessee chapter is trying to do, and now here in Murfreesboro. But what is your interest? Why are you involved?
That's a good question, Brian. And number one, I appreciate you having us on here to talk about this.
Glad to do it.
I became involved because I enjoy being involved in the community. I think it's important, in my opinion, to be involved with kids. My personal connection to this is I have a family member who was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes when she was 5 years old. I have seen how that affects her life and what she has to go through in order to try to deal with this with this concern. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if we can raise awareness not only in Middle Tennessee but also in Rutherford County, this is one way to do it. Recently, I contacted Jesse, and as fate would have it, it was about the same time that Jesse, I believe, was trying to bring more awareness to Rutherford County. So the timing was right. My interest was there. I contacted Jesse, and that's how we developed this.
Well, and how long have things been going here in Rutherford County?
My involvement is fairly short thus far, only a few months, but Jesse would probably be a better person to answer that question as far as the involvement in Rutherford County.
Well, I just thought, you know, seeing different community members involved in efforts, like a lot of times everyone wants to give of their time and do different things, but there's usually a connection or a why, you know, why do you want to be involved? And so obviously it has touched your family and touched you to the point where you really would like to help and do what you can.
Sure.
Jesse, so how long have the efforts been going on here in Rutherford County?
Well, I guess I came on board about 6 months ago. Our organization, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, or JDRF, if that's easier for folks, JDRF was looking at communities across the country that really had a booming economy, communities that were growing, that were showing up on all the national ratings of really thriving economies and communities where people were very philanthropic. And although Murfreesboro is very close to our Nashville office, we decided to invest in a full-time staff member, which is me. I'm your walk coordinator for Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. So we decided to invest in the community and put a walk here to service all the families that live in this growing community and those counties southeast of here. So we have walkers that come from Las Casas, Woodbury, McMinnville, Readyville, some towns I've never even heard of. I'm driving out to meet the families that are touched by this disease. And that's what's unique about type 1 diabetes or juvenile diabetes is it crosses all boundaries. There's no one socioeconomic group that gets it more than others. You know, of all nationalities, type 1 diabetes is on the rise. Mm-hmm. And so we've got families involved from all over the community, and we're thrilled to be back in Murfreesboro. It's been a few years since we've done a walk here, but we're glad to be here, and we're here to stay.
The walk is coming up on Saturday, October 8th, and we're going to get into a lot about the walk and how folks can participate coming up in just a few moments. But I thought it would be very, very good for us to spend some time maybe talking about diabetes, because when you hear just that term, number one, you don't think of juvenile diabetes, and then there are so many different types. And I think it can get confusing to some folks.
It really does, and I think that's one of the biggest hurdles and one of our biggest challenges and opportunities in the community is to get the word out about what is juvenile diabetes, Another word for it is type 1. Sometimes I'll talk to someone and they'll say, yes, my grandmother has diabetes, or diabetes runs in our family. And what they really mean is type 2 diabetes, which is a metabolic disorder. It's the one that most people have. It's so common, people that have type 2 diabetes, which is a metabolic disorder. It's when the insulin that is being produced in our body is not being utilized efficiently. So let's say, for instance, we eat a sandwich. The body's calculating how many carbohydrates are in that bread and saying, okay, you need to release some insulin and store that energy as fat or utilize it in other parts of the body. So in their bodies, it's just not working properly. Or the reason why it happens later in life is sometimes the pancreas that produces insulin, it just gets worn out. So you hear people getting it in their, you know, their 60s or 70s. A lot of people get type 2 because the body gets worn out and it's not utilizing it properly. And now with type 1 diabetes, it couldn't be more different. The result is the same. And diabetes, kind of in a nutshell, means high blood sugar. So when you have type 1 diabetes, it's because your body has attacked the pancreas. It's an autoimmune disease, much like lupus or MS or celiac disease, all these autoimmune diseases that are really on the rise. And the body has attacked the pancreas. It's destroyed the beta cells, which are the parts that produce the insulin. Usually the way that kids find out they have it is they lose weight rapidly. They're super thirsty, frequent urination, and voila, they check their blood sugar and it's 800. And so that's how kids find out they have type 1. And even adults, a lot of adults in their, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s are being diagnosed with type 1 or juvenile diabetes.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I do know some folks who are my age, a little younger, that are type 1 diabetic, and the name juvenile diabetes, you think of small children. So there's kind of a name problem there, I guess.
I agree with you. And there's a name problem on both sides of diabetes because now, you know, when you think of type 2 diabetes, it's not just adult onset. You have little children being diagnosed with maybe borderline type 2 through the, you know, obesity epidemic. So it's no longer that type 2 means old people and type 1 means young people. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So you can be diagnosed with that as early as 1 year old. So infants we see have type 1. We even have young people in their 40s and 50s being diagnosed. So there's no really, I mean, unfortunately for all of us trying to figure it out, there's not always an instant way you can find out if someone has it. If you become insulin dependent immediately, you find out you have it and you have to take insulin, and you're generally a healthy, you know, normal weight person, more than likely that person you know has type 1, because that's an autoimmune disease that strikes suddenly.
So basically type 1 and type 2 probably describes the diabetes better than juvenile diabetes and things like that. I know my grandparents used to call it their sugar. You know, that used to be, they had to regulate their sugar, you know, and
right.
Both of my grandparents were diabetic in their older years. So, you know, that's just one thing that I remember from my childhood, my first inclination of, you know, what are you talking about? So we have different generations here that are dealing with it.
And, you know, you mentioned the sugar, you know, and that's something that is another common misconception, is that a child with diabetes, again, we're talking about a type 1 child, they can have sugar. They can have birthday cake. They can have all those things, and they don't, you know, they don't appreciate, and it's sensitive when people say, are you sure you should be eating that? When you're a 50-pound scrawny kid, yes, you can have birthday cake. They just have to take insulin to properly dose for what they've eaten or consumed. So, and especially with the pumps nowadays, you might see people wearing something with tubes that attach to their belt and give them insulin when they need it. They can actually dial up what they've eaten on their pump, and it gives them the dose. So instead of having to take 4 to 5 injections of insulin a day, those who have pump technology can just dial up. If they want a snack, they can have a snack. It doesn't require that extra shot. So yes, kids with diabetes, sometimes they need sugar because they're having a low blood sugar. So that's another thing I wanted to let people know of, that it's okay to eat cake as long as you properly dose your insulin.
Now, is the pump the pager-looking thing? I mean, folks from the 80s would know what a pager is.
Exactly. And the pumps are getting smaller and smaller and harder to notice even. Mm-hmm. They most pumps do attach to your belt or your midsection. There is a site, an injection site, that gives you insulin constantly when you need it. They even have pumps nowadays that are just the insulin. That's the cool thing now with all the research we're doing and funding, and they've come up with a pump that's about the size of I'm trying to look around the room, but basically 2 inches, 2 inches long, that may fit on the back of your arm or on your belly, and it's just the insulin. And then the pager part you get to take off and put in your purse or your backpack.
Oh, kind of wireless, Bluetooth.
It's a wireless.
Stuff?
Yes,
oh, wow.
That's what's changing so mm-hmm. rapidly, and that's where all the exciting stuff is happening with the research. Is that with all the technology in the last few years, even you can communicate with your device, and it'll administer the insulin on the back of your arm. So it's much smaller and much more discreet for people who have diabetes.
We're talking to Jesse Clark and also Tommy Santel about the upcoming Walk to Cure Diabetes here in Murfreesboro, which is October the 8th, but we're spending some time here talking about juvenile diabetes as well. Is there a cure for this type 1?
That's a great question. That is the million-dollar question. And I've been involved with the organization for about 10 years. So I've seen, quote, the cure and what that means to people with diabetes change a little bit over 10 years of in funding and in research. And what we think is going to happen is we have a lot of horses in the race, is a great analogy. The cure is not going to be a magic bullet, which maybe we thought at some point it would be. The cure is going to come from helping the body turn off that autoimmune response, calming the body down so it's not attacking the pancreas. That's a big part of it. And when we can calm down the immune response, then we also need to replace those beta cells. So through regeneration and replacement, there's even something they're doing that's really cool and kind of you'd see in the movies, where they're taking pig islets. So the cells that produce insulin, they're taking those from donor pigs, and it's called xenotransplantation, covering them in a in an engineered sheath so that the insulin, putting them into humans, so that the insulin can get out and the body doesn't attack it. Because that's really what it's all about, is getting the body to have regulated blood sugars, and that's what the cure would mean. We're a long ways from that, but something that is very close to being something that would help people with diabetes is our artificial pancreas. And it was the technology we talked about earlier with the pump and something else we have right now called a continuous glucose monitor, and combining those two into one technology that would both read your blood sugar and administer insulin when you needed it in one unit. And that's actually within about 5 years away.
And so there's no pricking your fingers and doing all of this to monitor, because this technology would kind of do that for you, I guess.
Exactly. It's taking two technologies that exist right now with mm-hmm. different pharmaceuticals, and JDRF partners with the pharmaceutical companies to bring these things to market faster, because the type 1 population is a smaller population. We're not the biggest money maker, if you will, for some of the pharmaceutical companies, but we're actually investing as an investor would, and putting money to get these things to market. We're actually in phase 2 human trials of the artificial pancreas, and I've talked to a couple people that have been on it, and they said it was a game changer. It was the one day where they got to be free from doing all those massive calculations you do in your head of how much did I eat, how much activity am I going to do, how did I feel yesterday, am I sick, all these things that go into determining how much insulin you need, that that Tommy's cousin whose child has diabetes and all the other parents with children of with diabetes, they become a walking pancreas. Mm-hmm. And it's a very stressful job to administer that insulin to your children.
Well, with all the math, I would be lost, Tommy. I don't know about you. The math is not for me. So, that would be kind of tough. With this, the walk actually raises money how? I mean, what are you trying to do with this walk here, Tommy, in town?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, obviously, to raise money to help with this research. I think secondly, though, is to raise the awareness. Like Jesse said, right now there's a lot of families involved, naturally so, but I think also what's important is to get friends involved, friends of the family involved, because the more people that are involved in the walk, the more awareness is raised in Rutherford County. So those are the goals, and Jesse may want to comment on that some more, but the real goals are obviously to raise the money and to increase the participation.
Increasing awareness will also bring about maybe some changes in lifestyle for not only, I know we're talking about type 1, but type 2. I mean, that is something that can maybe not be prevented totally, but we can certainly have an awareness to eat better and do things that get that metabolic rate going.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we do for both types of diabetes is the complications. So the complications from high blood sugar, regardless of whether you have type 1 or type 2, those are the same complications. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the research we're doing is to prevent and reverse complications. So, you know, we know a lot about type 2 diabetes, how to prevent it, how to reverse it. So we're focused on type 1 diabetes and finding a cure for the people that have, you know, through no fault of their own. They didn't do anything to get this. It's not contagious. You know, these are kids that, you know, they're ready for the day when they don't have to count carbs. And it's just a constantly changing game. Every day you wake up is a different day. So we'd love for people in the community to join us on October 8th. You can go online to register. The web address is jdrf.org/Murfreesboro. So again, that's JDRF, stands for Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, .org/Murfreesboro, and you can register to walk with us.
We get up in the mornings, you know, remember to pick up the cell phone, wallet, keys, all those type of things. But, you know, I think of these, I have a 12-year-old and a now newly 9-year-old daughter, and I couldn't imagine them having to remember to get their little, you know, pocket of stuff, you know, every day just to be sure that they're not going to get sick. You know, I was sharing with you a friend of mine, his son takes this little pouch that's got all of the stuff in there, and if he needs some insulin, he can give it to himself. And, you know, that's very big for a 5-6-year-old person, but you have to really grow up quick, I guess, if you have juvenile diabetes.
You do. You know, it changes your life.
Yeah.
You know, we hear a lot of families when they come home from the hospital after being diagnosed suddenly, you know, part of them is relieved that at least they know what it is, that there is life support, that you can take insulin, and they choose to get involved. They get online. We saw a family diagnosed in Murfreesboro over the summer. Their daughter is a freshman in high school. The same day they were diagnosed, they were online, they registered for the walk, and that's something they can do to bring change and hasten a cure. But it does change your life. You know, you can't go to baseball camp like everybody else and be the same. You know, mom's got to be there, or mom's got to be on call. You know, date nights, I'm sure your sister, your cousin Shelby has told you date nights, you know, kind of no longer exist, because you have to have a very qualified babysitter to take care of a child with type 1 diabetes. Sleepovers, not so much, you know, unless you have a child or your child's friend has type 1, or they understand that you're going to have to get up at 2 in the morning and check their blood sugar. And if they're low, if they're 50, you're going to have to force orange juice down their throat, you know. And that's not even like being dramatic about it. This is what happens every night in the life of a family with diabetes, is they just can't. A lot of times they have to get up at 2 in the morning because they'll sleep better knowing that the blood sugars were fine, or if they were high, they had to give a little bit of insulin, or, but it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, they don't grow out of it. And what people are doing in the community, this generous, generous community, it's helping to find a cure. And one day we'll all be known as the people who cured diabetes.
Well, that just that little information there is a lot of insight, Tommy, that I never would have thought of, you know, getting up at 2 a.m. And, you know, when your kids are sick, you know, you don't sleep very well if they've got a little stomach virus or whatever, and you're up and down, and so are they. But to do that night in and night out. No wonder you have a passion for it, knowing family members are going through that every night.
Oh, you're right. I agree. I often complain because I have to get up at least once a night with my dog to go outside to the bathroom. But I can't imagine the stress, you know, of having to worry about your kids. I have three kids, and to know that stress was there, it'd certainly be concerning.
The website, jdrf.org/Murfreesboro, and you can register there. Teams, how do we do that, Jesse?
Sure. Our teams kind of take three forms. You can do a family team, which is yourself and your friends and your family, and a lot of times it's named after a child. Or you can do a corporate team that's based in your company. We also have school and organizational teams. And once you register, I'll get your email address and we'll correspond, and I'll actually meet with you one-on-one to help you team build and show you how to raise funds. And so much of it now is done online. You can even upload it to Facebook and your friends and family can give. And an interesting statistic today, the average walk donation on our website is about $63. So just from going online and posting it to Facebook, you're going to raise hundreds and thousands of dollars for diabetes research.
It could be that $63 that puts the research over the top to get that cure.
Exactly. Every dollar counts, and we're so grateful for everyone who's going to go online as soon as they hear this and register for the walk, and we'll see you on October 8th for sure.
Now, you don't have to necessarily have type 1 diabetes to participate in the walk or have a family member like Tommy or anything like that, right?
Not at all. I mean, if you just want to help children or you want to come out and get a good workout in, we have a 1-mile route and we have a 3-mile route. It's a great family outing. We've got breakfast from Panera. We've got snacks from Kraft. Everything's complimentary, and there's no cost to register. If you raise $100, you do get a JDRF t-shirt, but there's no cost. So it's a great family outing, and just come out and enjoy it. I guarantee you the weather will be better than it was this week we've had in Murfreesboro.
A little cooler will be okay, though.
It will be a beautiful day, guaranteed. So, and dogs are welcome, strollers. It's just a great family outing.
Sounds great. Jesse Clark, thanks for being here. Tommy Santel, appreciate your efforts here locally. And again, that website, jdrf.org/Murfreesboro, to register. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. All right, that is going to do it for the program today. We thank you so very much for joining us. Stay tuned. We're talking sports next on All Sports Talk.
Looking to increase your journey.